Hello, hello. Hello, hello. This is Taino Radio. I just want to welcome all. Thank you for everyone that is tuned in. And this is your co-host, the ever-loving 4-1. Tonight's subject and topic and the unfortunate, you know, conversation that we have to talk about is the loss of another sister. We're going to have to get in there and really discuss, you know, what, you know, the issues are that are leading to another sister, another brother, another child going missing. We are going to discuss the very heartbreaking, very, very sad story and do a little bit of celebration of life for Miss Andrea Evita Reyes. And, you know, may her spirit live on. But we're gonna have to do that talk. We're gonna have to get real, real serious about it, real, real about it, and hold some accountability. And who else do we have co-hosting tonight? Who else is gonna join me?
Hey, 4-1. Hey. How you doing?
I'm good. Introduce yourself, please.
So, my name is Inaru Boria. Everybody else usually knows me from the other blog talk shows as Stephanie Sky. So it's a pleasure to be here with you tonight. I'm glad that we can have this discussion, you know, and continue the discussion about our murdered and missing Indigenous women. It is definitely a ongoing issue and an ongoing crisis that we've been dealing with for years, centuries, you know, for some reason.
1492, yeah, 1492.
Yeah, we've been targeted and continuously targeted for almost what seems like novelty reasons. You know, we seem to be this novelty and just continuously being used and abused and stolen, consistently stolen, unfortunately. And we will be having, I believe it's a relative of the sister that we'll be honoring tonight. She'll be on to briefly give us a little bit more information about our lost sister and, you know, aiding us in honoring her spirit and her memory. And hopefully this can bring some awareness to the situation a little bit more, and people can become a little bit more proactive in seeing things and saying things and making sure that other people are aware of what's going on so they can be proactive in saving these young women and children, for that matter. You know, she was somebody's daughter, she was somebody's sister, somebody's niece, and it's really up to us to continue sharing these stories, as difficult as it might be, to make sure that we don't allow it to continue happening.
That's absolutely right, and I'm thankful for you joining me in this very tough discussion, because, you know, I recently just engaged in a, you know, in an interaction, and you know, kind of the topic was about mainstream media not, you know, covering our issues, you know, whether, you know, whatever that may be. And, you know, kind of my opinion on it, you know, whether that matters or not, but and that part of, you know, why we are invisible, because we let someone else tell our stories.
Exactly.
You know, we can't, we, you know, we need to take back whether the news is good, bad, you know, we need to make others aware. We need to hang that tribal ego up at that door of unity. And we, you know, we, first of all, we need to build a platform for ourselves, you know. I don't know if you noticed, though, sister, even the indigenous communications, whether it's radio or print or digital, there's not a consistent source, you know, where they're making, you know, just a little cutout section to bring that awareness, you know, because I when I, you know, really went and looked, and I started, you know, I'm not going to name no names, but I went and I looked, and they said, well, besides the advocates, what do we really got that keeps that focus? You know, you might see a missing post here and there, but with the, you know, threat to life that it has been since 1492, we got to do more. We got to do better.
No, and I definitely agree with you.
So, you know, I thank you, sister. How about before we get this this show kicked off, how about we do an honor song? Let's do an honor song for Andrea, for her family, for our sisters found, for our sisters not found, our brothers and our children. So here's an honor song from Northern Cree. Let's do this. We are back. Do you feel that? Oh my goodness.
Absolutely.
Truth.
Absolutely.
Is a vibration.
There's definitely something about the Northern Cree. When they sing, they really bring out the spirit. They really do. It makes me miss powwow season. COVID really has this
Powwow season. And I'm telling you, my hair is standing up again. You know what I mean? And they say, you know, truth is a vibration you could feel.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. You want to talk about who we got here?
Yes. So for those who didn't catch the beginning of the show, tonight we'll be honoring a lost sister of ours. A fellow Taino Arawak Native Indigenous sister. So tonight we have a special guest, and she is also Taino Arawak. Her name is Kat Vasquez Alicia, and she's going to be assisting us tonight in honoring Andrea Evita Reyes. So, Kat, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Thank you guys for having me.
No, thank you, Kat. Thank you so much, and my condolences. My condolences. You know, we definitely all feel this loss. But we will all be burning some sage for you guys, you know, specifically in her honor, and to continue assisting you all in healing. Hopefully this show
thank you
aids in that healing process.
I also want to thank you for your bravery. You know, this is not going to be easy. Thank you for talking about your best friend. Absolutely, and you are brave, and you are strong, and thank you.
We really appreciate you being here, to have this discussion with us. This raw, open discussion. I want to start
a little bit with, I might sound a little repetitive. I'm sure these are things that you guys have touched on before. I've listened in a couple times, so I know. And, basically to say that there's a disproportion here is an understatement. Okay. Not only are Native Indigenous women and girls, mind you, at higher risk and rate of violence by more than what, 10 times any other ethnic group. But to add to it, our Indigenous Boricua women and our Indigenous Caribbean women are very much disproportionately not acknowledged when it comes to
at all
the missing and murder Indigenous women campaign. We need to change that.
That is very true. That is very true.
Imagine how many cases are not even reported. How many are undocumented that we don't even know about?
Well, and not only that, but are misclassified, you know, misidentified.
Absolutely.
You know, 2 years ago, the missing count for Black women was 60,000. Two years ago. So how many sisters do you think may have fallen under that category? You know?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, this isn't just us problem. It's an everyone problem.
Absolutely.
It is. And everybody really needs to take that into consideration. I think that when they do, and you know, I take nothing away from the Missing Murdered Indigenous Women's campaigns and the activists. You know, they do a great job in what they do.
They're amazing.
However, they do lack in some areas, and I think it's really important that not only Native women, you know, North American Native women, speak up about this problem, but it's also important for us as First Nation, you know, Caribbean, Indigenous women to also start bringing light to the situation and really representing, you know, our people in the same.
Absolutely.
You know, it's important to do more than just post photos with a red handprint over our faces.
Exactly.
And say, look, you know, this is a thing. You know, it's very important for us to walk out here and use our voices, because unfortunately sisters like our current sister who passed, you know, don't have that voice anymore, and they become a statistic. And in becoming a statistic, yes, you know, for a moment it can be a large uprising and uproar, but what happens after? You know, what happens next
exactly.
week when another woman is gone or another sister is missing or stolen? You know, why do we have to continue to allow every week it be another woman? Why can't we just continue to do the work, you know? So
the work
having a platform
needs to continue,
like this,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. So having a platform like this and having people be able to be courageous and speak about it and bring light and share statistics and information and, you know, really reinforce the idea of ensuring the safety of our women by women and our men. You know, it becomes extremely important. So, again, I really thank both of you for being on the show tonight and bringing awareness to the situation. Hopefully, this show in particular can go ahead and really start to spark that change in trajectory for what can happen and what will happen moving forward in regards to saving our women in general.
Yes, and the inclusion of the Caribbean islands, the inclusion of Central and South America, the inclusion of Alaska and the Polynesian Islands and New Zealand
mm-hmm.
really needs
Absolutely.
To come more to the forefront. And that's not just only hearing about Western Northern America and Canada. You know what I mean? And
right.
I've traveled to many of these places, and, you know, time and time again, how many times have we all stepped up to the callings for other Native and Indigenous relatives, you know,
mm-hmm.
both in the U.S. and Canada, throughout the years. So this inclusion with everyone else needs to happen.
Right.
There's no question about it.
Absolutely. And that calling back of that spirit, the spirit of us, of
yes.
Indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we've got some laws, but we don't
yes.
have that right. We don't have that right to stand and judge them. What we do
right.
and what we are to do is to take care of our own. We are to protect our own. We are to
mm-hmm.
raise others. We are to
That's
be present.
Right.
I can't, you know, no little girl is going to ever learn to become a woman, because it takes a woman to teach a little girl,
mm-hmm.
you know, how to become one. So we have to be present. We have to be present
Absolutely.
In our children's life, and we have to be present in life, you know?
That's true.
Absolutely.
We need to bring, besides our spirit back, we need to bring that medicine back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We need to normalize that it's okay to hurt. It's okay to, you know, experience all that it takes to be a being, you know, because we grow up in, you know, the patriarch societies where we tell our little boys to walk it off. We look past the predator in our own family. We sweep that
yes.
type of stuff under the rug. And
mm-hmm.
we can't be silent no more, because that's how that cycle continues. And I'm encouraging every sister, every brother, everyone listening, that it's time to come back home, and it's time to, you know, do what you're supposed to do, you know, and take care of home, protect ours.
Absolutely.
If we don't, nobody else will.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about Kat?
Kat is myself. You mean about Andrea?
Yeah. Yes,
It's okay.
Yeah, Kat, can you tell us a little bit about Andrea, a little bit about who she was and, you know, the legacy that she graciously, you know, left behind and any information about her?
Okay, so Andrea was born, Andrea Evita Reyes. She was born on October 4th, 1981. She was raised here in a reservation in Southern California.
Do you know what res?
I don't know the name of it. She's taken me to it many times, but I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But I had so many stories that she would give me there and so many things that went on there. But she was amazing. She, once she set out on her journey for to reconnect with her culture and her spirituality, it ran so deep. She went to any end. I mean, she was constantly studying, trying to learn, doing genealogy, all of these things. And her dream was to see the motherland. And I said, oh, well, what better person than me? I grew up there. And she was just like, oh, you did? Well, let's go. So we planned, and she was not a fan of flying. It was only the second time of her flying in her life. So it was absolutely horrible and hilarious. She cried the whole flight in the beginning when we first took off. But once we got there, she was just dancing and singing all over the airport when we got to Boeing King. Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing. But it was so, so fun. So I showed her that entire island. We went to all of our sacred Bate sites. We went to the caves. We went to show her the petroglyphs. Everything and everywhere on that island so she can feel, you know, that her spirit, that connection with her motherland, because that was her first time ever going. And it was just so emotional for her. She absolutely loved it and connected to the point that when we got back home, she started saving. We started a savings account for her because she wanted to move to the island. So, unfortunately, a turn of events would come in December of 2020, where in Desert Hot Springs, California, her life was brutally taken by the hands of a monster that I will not say his name because he does not rate that energy. He was a parolee who already had warrants out for his arrest since October of 2020 for false imprisonment, robbery, and vehicle theft. This monster, had he been arrested before that December, he would not have been able to murder our sister and the attempted murder of another sister whose name I will leave out due to it's still an ongoing investigation. He is arrested and in prison. It's an ongoing case. Brutally murdered in that manner. And your body left like a piece of trash to be found. Nobody deserves that. Nobody. So I hope that this monster rots in jail for the rest of his life. And we will do everything on our end here in Southern California to make sure that that happens. She was not buried until February 2nd of this year.
Oh, my goodness.
This was after funeral service that took place in January and then cremation. And then she was buried next to her father, who had just died 5 months prior to COVID-19.
Wow.
So not only does her daughter lose her grandfather, who was like a mother and father to her in a way, she loses her mother to a murder in such a brutal manner days before her own 19th birthday.
Wow.
So we do have some of her cremains. Our daughter did ask me if we can take those pieces of those cremains to the island of Borinquen and release them and spread them, which we will be doing. It's heartbreaking. Beyond heartbreaking.
That is extremely heartbreaking. I don't have any words. That is, her story resonates with me so much. so much. As a fellow Taino, you know, I recently just went back to the island for, it's not my first time back to the island, but my first time back to the island as an adult, and I experienced exactly what she experienced. You know, that same feeling, that same euphoric release of energy, you know, that acceptance of energy from all of these sacred places, so much so, you know, I went in November, so much so that I'm going back in May. Just to relive the experience again. So I resonate with that, you know, and I'm so glad that she was able to experience that, you know, prior to this terrible event, because
I'm so glad she was able to
find her ancestors, and her ancestors were able to guide her. And that
Absolutely.
Alone, you know, brings so much reassurance in that capacity. While she might not be here, she was absolutely received by the ancestors in such a joyous way. And, you know, for anything else, that at least we can be thankful for, that she had that experience and was able to have that. My condolences to her daughter. Please, you know, let her know that as a community, we stand with her. You know, as a people, we stand with her, and should she need any support in anything, that she's always welcome. Reach out to Taino Radio. We can support her. As far as, you know, conversation, resources of, you know, mental support, mental health, even if she just wants to learn about her culture as well, you know, we'll be here. And, you know, that's our sister as well. You know, that's our daughter as well at this point. So she definitely has a support system over here as well. Sana Kori and I will definitely, and I'm sure for one as well, will be more than willing to, you know, continuously support her in some way.
I will definitely pass that information to her and let her know. It's just so difficult. Like, the shock effect has not wore off at all.
Oh, I believe it. I couldn't
imagine.
My grandfather. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like we may experience it with other friends and family members that are maybe more distant, or we see it posted all the time. But then when it hits so close to home, it's one of your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's terrible.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did she know him?
Yes. And she was murdered in her own home by this monster. Yes.
Yeah.
Nine out of 10 times, we know them, unfortunately.
That is what I want to, unfortunately, have to bring up and talk about it. This is another life indigenous queen. Indigenous woman, you know, whose life was taken by another indigenous.
Yes, absolutely
that,
was. By
know,
one of our
that,
own. Like, how can you? How dare you? You should be protecting your women.
Exactly. And that's what we're not talking about. We want to keep pointing fingers, and it's keeping that divide between us, because we want to keep saying it's all pipeline. It's all unidentified serial killers. It's, you know, unknown. Many of these cases go unknown, and you know why? Not
because the families and people won't speak up and tell the truth about who's doing it.
Absolutely.
Not
their
uncles,
their brothers, their fathers, their cousins.
Yep. They're sweeping it under the rug. Or they're looking the other way.
Yep.
Yep. And, you know, right now, you know, at last week's show, you know, I had to bring up the fact that there is no crime or no law stating law enforcement has to go after anyone who commits crimes against indigenous, whether it's on state or federal land. And right now, the Violence Against Women has expired and is sitting on Biden's desk to be signed again and reactivated. So I'm encouraging everyone, whether you have experienced this personally, but I'm assuming you have.
Yes.
You know, I'm assuming it has happened to you, to her, them over there. You know, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it. And I don't care who it hurts.
Exactly.
Just that talking about it, you know, because we've got to create these platforms. We got to, you know, we've got to get.
We have to have the dialogue.
No more looking past, you know, uncle, brother, cousin. There's no more of that.
Right. And that's the thing. Without the dialogue, there's no way that young women, you know, young children can register that it's not okay. You know, how many stories have we heard about our missing or murdered Indigenous sisters that they started experiencing abuse in childhood? And because they were told, you know, don't say anything, you know, it's okay because you know me, you know, things like that. When they grow up with that, when they're conditioned in that manner, when they're groomed to be accepting of it, you know, they miss warning signs as adults. And it puts them in a position where now they have an issue with recognizing, you know, okay, well, you know, I need to say something. Or if I do say something, you know, they're not going to hear me. They're not going to listen. And those are things that we have to stop. You know, when a young girl goes up to her mother and says, hey, look, your boyfriend touched me, how many times do the women come back and say, no, he wouldn't do that? You know, why are you lying? Why are you fibbing? You know, instead of believing the young child or investigating it further and allowing a predator to stay in the home, you know, that creates a conditioning in the mind of a young child that allows them to believe that these things are okay. And it leads to things like this, where they're now unable to speak about abuse that they may be enduring. And then when it becomes too late, that's when everybody is saying, you know, we should have listened, we should have heard. So it starts with all of us that are able to hear and able to witness what's going on. You know, it's important for us to raise our young men and our young women in the same capacity. You know, you don't have to just tell the girls. You have to tell the young boys as well. The young boys have to understand that it's your job to be the protector. You know, and as a young woman, you are able to protect, you know, your brothers, you know, but your brothers will be there to protect you as well. It's our job to continuously look out for each other, especially as Indigenous people, because we're so underrepresented. You know, we are marginalized, and while we fit in a category of minority, we are the minority of the minority. You know, how many of us aren't counted? And when we are counted, we're grouped into other categories, subcategories, you know, major categories such as Hispanic or Latino or African American, because we have certain genetic types, you know. So we don't even have the opportunity to be counted as Indigenous at this point in some instances. So we are very, very marginalized. It's a very, very touchy situation, because now we have such high numbers in Indigenous groups and we represent such a small portion because people have tried to eradicate us for so long. And now we're still being stuck in a process of people stealing us, stealing our bodies, you know, throwing us, you know, into sex work, you know, and selling us overseas and within the states even. You know, it becomes a serious problem that has to be addressed. And again, while we have some advocates for it, it's always the topic of those that are already lost. What can we do at this point to ensure that we don't have to keep on talking about who was lost? It's wonderful to honor the people that have been lost. You know, we have to do that. We always honor our ancestors. You know, we always honor those who have fallen. But we have to have the discussions now to ensure that we start limiting the amount of people that fall into that category.
Absolutely agree.
Decolonize. We need to decolonize.
Absolutely.
And you know, even at this level, it's in an individual. It's an individual goal, because then that creates the collection of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important we normalize mental health as a just an everyday thing. We have to normalize communication.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hang those tribal egos up. You know, I can't mess with, you know, oh, they're who and who and so and so. We passed that. You know, it's okay to be proud and represent, but not when it comes to remembering and taking back who we are. You know, power of
something I hashtag a lot. Is saying, you know, hashtag remember who you are. I do that a lot. On my stories.
Remember to remember.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Yeah.
You
and
know,
I think
because,
that
our
Indigenous sisters and relatives need to get more involved with learning self-defense in any form necessary.
Absolutely. I mean, isn't that just like, that's just part of raising someone.
Exactly. You would think that we just need more of it. I mean, even if we need to make groups or open up places or something, being active basically, not just speaking about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Community building is a thing. You know, and we really have to, even on the reservations, you know, on the reservations, off the res, either way, we have to build our communities. And when I say build the communities, it's to sit here and say we belong to a tribe. We belong to a group of people. We belong to Yukayekes. You know, we are tribal. That's what we are. But let's not lose focus of what those communities are supposed to be. When we had our tribes prior to colonization, we were self-sufficient. We were self-reliant. You know, our elders raised all of the children at once. Our warriors protected everyone in the community. And now we've gotten to a point where our tribal instincts are no longer community. They're very, very individualized. Yeah. And it's important that, you know, our men take the responsibility to be those warriors. And it's important for our women to do and create and take care of one another and really share sisterhood, because
absolutely agree
that community, that rebuilding and that rebranding of the idea of what it is to be tribal is going to make all of the difference when it comes down to how we can function moving forward. You know, if we have a community that sees and says and speaks and protects everything regarding the community and everyone within the community, things like this will be less likely to happen, because people who come from outside of the community will have a much harder time feeling like they can do as they please. And the people within the community who don't resonate with the ideas and are seen as people who are combative to the idea of building community and maintaining this structure, this idea of protection for everyone, they will be pushed out. You know, they will be removed. They will be seen as the person who's resisting, and they will already have those eyes on them, and it'll make them less likely to be reactionary to cause things like this to happen. So just in general, working on that idea of community building, whether it's tribal or our Yukayekes, you know, our personal tribes, it's very, very important that we continue that structure of community, and, you know, we continue to build the idea of collective unity.
Yes. And, you know, that community building that you speak of, it, you know, it feels like
us taking back our power in a sense. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
you see another sister out there, that ain't your competition. Come on now. We got to stop looking at each other with them cock eyes and them slanted eyes and painted eyebrows. You know what I mean?
You're right. You're absolutely right. We have to come together. We need that unity.
You know, absolutely. And we need to encourage that elder and our youth,
yes.
You know, because you notice where are our leaders? Where are they?
Exactly.
They,
and we have so many youth and young people that are coming in and wanting to find themselves and their identity and their culture and their spirituality. And it's like, okay, well, I can only name maybe a handful of elders I can direct you to, honestly. And it shouldn't be that way. We have way too many
elders.
And if it is, if we do have someone that we can refer to, they're not of that immediate generation above us.
Exactly.
You know? They're of a generation 3, God, you know,
exactly.
You know, Creator blessed to still be with us. You know, I mean, I get all of the residual effects. I get all that, but we've been talking this talk and not doing nothing. And we've, you know, one of the residual effects of colonialism, of white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
is dependency.
Yes. And colonialism is to win, the more we keep ourselves in this divisive state.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's time, you know, we got some stimulus checks coming out. Why not invest in yourself? Why not invest in yourself?
Absolutely.
You know, if you've been talking the talk, say, I'm going to start my own podcast or my own radio show, or I'm going to do this and that. Oh, then do it.
Yes.
You know how many times I hear people say that? You
That's
know,
a big thing. They do talk a big talk.
They do. They talk.
They do.
And you know what? I'm done talking.
The only
I'm
thing that matters is
about,
action.
I'm all about changed behavior.
Yes.
And
Show
action.
Me.
Movement. You know what I
yes.
mean? Because we're done talking about it. It's time to do something. And always remember, you don't know who's looking. You don't know who's watching you. Remain in that state of, you got somebody who may be looking up to you. Remain in that state of being a good example. Because it's more than just genitalia. That
yes.
makes a man or makes a woman. That's only anatomically. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? That's not all there is. I mean, think about how many we got on either side.
Mm-hmm.
That the monster that took Andrea's life.
Yes.
That's not a man.
Even remotely.
You know, that was false
dominance. Get
that monster's
face out of my head.
You know, it's not who we are. Just think about it. Think about the power that the indigenous woman possesses. She has the ability to guide unborn souls. She is what leads a man to his soul.
Yes.
She will lead the healing. There is no side effect of a matriarch system or a matriarch way of life. You know? It's procreation. That's what coming out of the mud, coming out of Unsimaka, you know, we are so much more than, you know, a Prada bag or a pair of red bottom shoes. We are spiritual beings.
Absolutely.
And that spirit, we gotta call it back.
Mm-hmm.
We also
have to walk and remember that while we're looking for elders to guide, we have to also walk in with the idea that eventually we'll be elders as well.
Yes.
So it's important that as Indigenous people, while we're searching consistently for our elders and looking for that continued guidance and building the community, it's important for us to take that role as well. You know, you don't have to be well into your seniority to be an elder. We have elders, you know, that are young aged. You know, we have mothers and not grandmothers who are elders in some capacities. It's really knowledge-based and how in tuned you can be with the ancestors, you know, that really determine it. And a lot of our women don't look at themselves with the potential of being the elder. You know, while you can see yourself as the sister, you can see yourself as the mother, you can see yourself as the daughter, it's important to walk with the idea of, you know, eventually I will be these children's elder. You know, I will be the elder of this community. And it's important to establish that, to walk with that. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, you know, and we must continuously walk in that alignment, understanding that we are going to be in that set. We are in that space at this moment, in this present moment in time. So sisterhood is a very big thing. You know, it has to be instinctual. You have to be able to recognize, you know, these are my sisters, not my competition. These are my sisters, not my enemies. You know, it's my job to be able to say that I'm here for you. You know, I can't say that for one, if I ever see you on the street, that's not my sister. You know, I might not know you like that, but if something were to happen, I'd be right there for you. You understand what I'm saying? And
that's a mentality
that we have to continue to carry. And I think once we start doing that as well, it'll definitely make the idea of maintaining sanctuary and safety easier and more attainable as a group. Again, like I said, collective works. It's all about the collective. You know, we can move mountains individually, right? So if we all came together and moved those same mountains, how much faster can we go?
Exactly.
So it's all about those kind of ideas where we really have to create those platforms, exactly like you guys said, creating those platforms and making those kind of things happen. No more words. You know, it's really about what can we do to implement? You know, what kind of routines can we put into place? How can we create these group economics so that we can really move the community and create an economy within ourselves so we don't have to be so reliant on everything around us?
I love that. But you know what I mean?
Once we start taking that control, you know that it's going to be everybody coming in and peeking in and trying to take, you know, control and pieces and have a word. And at that point, it's too late. It's too late because now we're creating our own again. And that's why we're treated the way that we're treated, because they know once we come together, once we're able to do these things collectively, that's the end of it. They have no more control.
Exactly.
They
lose
no
their
more
power. They lose their control.
Exactly.
Sisters.
Yes.
We got a caller.
Nice.
We got a caller. Are we wish? Let's see what we going to talk about. Hello, are you there? Caller?
Hey, guess what? It's Sanacori. I got through.
Hey, Sanacori. Hey, cousin.
All I want to know.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
You know, my mic went dead. I was panicking. I was writing Kat, and Kat said, oh, man, I guess you got to call in. I'm like, damn, that's genius, man. That's right. I can call in my own show. So thank you, Kat, for saving the night.
You're
so I can call in. Yo, Kat, I got a question for you. For the viewers who are listening, what should I call it? Kat is my DNA cousin, so that's cool, man. So this is family.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. Oh, so Kat, maybe we're related too.
Yeah, Stephanie's
sure
a cousin too. And April's my sister, 4-1.
You have a related to Evita too.
Absolutely. And here's something else for you. We all share the same DNA to a certain point. So
beautiful.
Yeah, sister
yeah,
too.
That's true. Yeah, man. You know, it's interesting. I wanted to ask Kat if she has one experience, you probably have a dozen or more. When you was in Borinquen, with Andrea, is there an event or something that occurred that really stood out that you can share with us that's kind of cool? Put you in the spot, right?
There's so many. Okay, so in Southern California, there's a thing here when people need to eat, they use limes a lot, right? So when we were in Borinquen, you know, that's not really our thing. We don't need limes with everything we eat every time we sit down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
limes?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Limes, yes, sliced limes. And so we were at a restaurant after one of the marches for the battle to get that, you know, prior governor out. And we stop at a place at 2 in the morning to eat. And she's going back and forth with this Kiskayan guy about she needs sliced limes. And he's trying to explain to her that that's not how we do things there, you know? And she wanted it for her little pieces of carne and stuff. And that's something that it drove me absolutely bonkers the whole time we were there. But it was so funny at the same time because people would look at her like she was crazy every time she would bug them for limes, sliced limes. And so the guy tells her, like, go outside to a tree, a fruit tree, and get you a lemon or something. He's like, I don't have sliced limes for you. And so it was just, I mean, we were so tired and exhausted and sweaty, and it was just so funny. And so that happened many times throughout the island. Like, oh, my goodness. And then there was some amazing times we had at El Yunque, and, you know, in the rainforest, we parked the car on the side of the road, and we just dove into the forest. Like, we went all the way in. We were in the rivers. We were meditating. It was so emotional. We were crying, and I had so many pictures I took of her privately with her in the water and in the rivers by herself. Like, she went straight in with her clothes and everything. And it was just so beautiful and so spiritual, and she was so connected in that moment that it's something that just keeps going through my mind, just how beautiful it was for her. I mean, she was just smiling and doing – okay, so we had this joke, this thing with her and her rain dancing, right? Because she could rain dance and the rain would come almost instantly. And I was just like, no, we're in a rainforest. Please don't do this. I said, you are going to make the water rise, okay? Tell me why Andrea decided in the middle of the rainforest that she was going to start a rain dance. So she pulls out her maracas from her backpack, and she just starts. And it starts pouring, and the water starts rising. And I'm just like, okay, we have miles down this water to go. So I'm trying to bury a little bit of tobacco under a tree, do my little prayers and stuff like that, and then hurry up and try to get away from this water. Because, mind you, it's rising, and she's just dancing away, thinking it's funny. And I was just like, Andrew, we are going to drown and go floating down that water if you do not, like, stop and let's go, you know?
Damn.
So once she stopped, like, literally we were, like, maybe we walked about 10 feet after she stopped, and boom, the rain stopped instantly. I was like, I told you it's you. And every time she would do that, it would instantly start raining. And so it was just funny because over here where the unfortunate event happened, she lived in the middle of the desert. Okay, she lived in Desert Hot Springs. So if you know about Desert Hot Springs, it gets up to like 125 degrees on a regular basis. It's completely dry in the middle of nowhere. And Andrea could bust out in a rain dance and make it rain in the desert.
okay? How, it's beyond me. I understand that sometimes it can invoke rain maybe days later or a couple weeks or something, but she had something with the rain that she could evoke it almost instantly. So when I went to her,
wow,
her cremains are resting next to her father, I had made a joke there with her about, well, if you know I'm here and your spirit's really here hanging out with me and your dad, this rain better come. Guaranteed. Not even 24 hours later, we had rain. I'm just like,
man.
No, you got to be kidding me. Like, I mean, it's raining right now as I'm speaking to you, and that's not common for us. We don't get a lot of rain. So I'm just like, okay, I know you're present, girl. I know you're present. In between here and Kawabe, but you're present.
I have a question, Kat.
Yeah.
I have a question, Kat. You said, you know, Andrea left behind her young daughter.
Yes.
Her father's life was taken by COVID, you know, the grandfather of this, of her child.
Yes.
Who's taking care of her?
She is on her own pretty much with a friend. She doesn't have anyone to take care of her. That's why I'm trying to make sure I stay as connected as possible so I can, you know, help her get through whatever process and then continue a more in physical presence process. But it's just so hard, I guess, right now on her. And she's very introvert, so I'm trying to link up with her and, you know, figure out what we can do to help her as a group, us in our indigenous community, in the Arawak Taino community, for her, because I don't know of anyone here that she has to help her as of right now, unfortunately.
That's what I was talking about earlier is it's going to get tough, and we got to talk about all of that. Do you see what that is, what it is doing to us?
Yes.
No one there to take care of her daughter. We got to step up.
Yep.
We really got to step up because, you know, it's all those left behind. All of them left behind.
So many. And I lost both my parents, so I'm at a young age. So I was I was in around her age when I lost my father, and then 4.5 years later after that, I lost my mother. So I've been in a long time without my parents. And so I know. And then I had to take in my sister and raise my sister because she was only 10 and then 14 when our parents died, 10 and 14. So seeing that, I know that this girl is going to need counseling. This girl is going to need help. She's going to need her people. Her people.
Absolutely.
Not somebody else who cannot even relate or speak from a place of understanding. And I know I understand that sometimes our, you know, when it comes to indigenous people, they may have a psychiatrist or a therapist or a doctor that is of a Caucasian, a white background. And sometimes in those cases, for having them as a counselor and therapist and things like that, it's not a good thing. We need our own people in those positions when it comes to these things, and African American people as well. How can one of our African sisters sit there, have a white woman or white man in front of them and speaking to them about their problems and where they need help and mental health when that person can't even relate to them 1%? You know what I mean? We need our own people in those positions, doctors and therapists and counselors and psychiatrists.
Wow.
So we can be treating
and
taking care of our own people.
And we have a whole different diet. We have a whole different medicine. We have
Absolutely.
A whole different therapy. We have a whole different
spirituality.
Understanding. Absolutely. And that's that calling back of the spirit.
Yes.
That go back home. And those elders out there holding and hoarding info, because, you know, we don't come from a book, you know, history. We come from an oral. And we've got some elders out there hoarding info. they're not making it a part of our parenting, you know, or how we communicate or how we are community. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to let the medicine, we have to share the medicine.
Yes.
As well.
I agree.
You know, Kat, let's stay in touch because here in New York State, I do psychotherapy. I'm licensed in Europe,
yeah.
But I can definitely try to connect with her and trying to, you know, find
thing.
Services for her. She's in Texas, right?
Her daughter's here about 30 minutes from where I am in Southern California.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, Kat, right, if anything, like I told you earlier, if you need anything, please reach out to either myself or Sana Cody. I am certified in psychological first aid as well, so I can help her,
thank you.
Whatever it is that she's dealing with as well. But Sana Cody is licensed as a social worker, right, Sana Cody?
Yeah, I do social work and psychotherapy is my field.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know,
cool.
You have resources
definitely.
Here.
Get her that
resources.
You guys. If you guys can inbox me on Instagram and send me that information, and I'm going to share that with her as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we'll definitely help her through the process and, you know, give her the medicine that she needs, give her the support that she needs. You know, we'll all stay in touch. We will definitely all stay in touch.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your guys' time and just everything and all of the learning I can take from this experience myself and just be able to speak on her story and have her story out there. Like, I don't want her to be forgotten at all.
No, she will not. She will absolutely not be forgotten. This isn't going to be something that, you know, we're going to just let be today's news. And tomorrow she'll just be another one of our missing Indigenous, you know, women. It's not happening.
Thank you.
You know, she has a daughter. Her
that.
Memory will continue to live on. You know, she was one of our Taino sisters. Her memory will live on through me. Her memory will live on through you. We will continue to speak about these issues and her specifically. You know, the memory is going to be alive. We're going to make sure that things like this don't happen within our communities and our surrounding communities. It's definitely something that's going on for too long, and enough is enough.
Absolutely agree.
Definitely. You know, we ran out of time. We're on overtime. But check this out.
You did good.
Yeah, this is great flow, you know. I'd like to thank April. I'd like to thank Stephanie. And I'd like to especially thank Kat for being here. But check this out. You know, in the Taino tradition, when someone dies and this person can provide a great example for the community left behind, we honor them as a semi. What we do is we used to unbury their bones, and we will take either the skull or some bones, and we'll keep it in the home of the family. On the center pole, we'll put it in the gore, and that will be a remembrance of how we need to act, how we need to live, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I will love to honor her as our semi in our community, because, you know, the brutal death that she had to persevere, you know, and even though she's not with us physically, she is in the spirit realm, and she's inspiring us to continue this fight, I believe, huh? This is what I'm hearing today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. So, you know, a semi in Taino is a sacred, in English is sacred, a sacred being, you know, so now that she's in that spirit world, she's definitely sacred. So I found a song. I actually played it not too long ago. It's called Tak Toka Puk Ak Semi. It's in the Taino Bonike Naiki dialect. It's called I Am Your Semi. So it was sung by a man. His name is Rosado, Angel Manuel Rosado. And I guess he could represent us men, saying that, you know, as we know, in the invasion, they took out all the men, you know.
Yeah.
The women stayed behind in the islands. The DNA has proven that. It seems like machismo has taken a stronghold for, like, good, 500 years now in our men.
Yes.
Yeah, man, it's just machismo. And so many times, even my own family, how many times I've heard, you know, my uncles, whatever, coming home drunk, being their wives, or how many times people come into my office, or these women, mostly the women, 95% of the women, the same story. You know, I don't know what to do, you know, with the beatings and the verbal abuse, sexual abuse as well, okay. Sexual assaults and stuff. So I hope this song, even though it's sung by a man, you know, it's a representation that there are some good men out there. And we want to help, you know, we want to help and we want to honor the women. So this is a call out to all the men out there. You know, we have to do better. We have to do better. And we have to stop those predators that are in our communities. And many of them are leaders. We got to stop them. We have to be courageous as men. So here's the song. And that's how we end the show. Thank you all. And guess what? I hope you all come back again every Friday. We're going to try to help these murdered, missing Indigenous women and relatives. So, Kat, you're always welcome to come back, okay?
Thank you. Thank so, you. I appreciate
yeah,
it. Thank you, ladies,
thank you
also
all.
For having me and for talking. And
thank you, Kat.
Sorry,
for helping
a few
us.
Times I was a little quiet, but it's just because I'm trying not to bawl the whole time.
No,
but
thank
I
you
appreciate
for
your
bravery
and your words.
Thank
your
you
energy.
For your bravery.
Thank you,
you
for your strength.
Definitely.
Appreciate
definitely,
that.
Definitely, man. Thank you.
Time to step up. Step up.
Yes, indeed.
That's it.
We got this.
That's it. So what? Yep, we got this. So we'll end this with I am your Sammy. This is like her speaking to us. She is our guide now. She's an ancestor watching over us as a sacred being. Here we go. I am your Sammy.
Matayalaha, dakto kabukat semin, mat Santa Yalaha. That's what I'm gonna say. Mata Yalaha. Mata Yalaha. Sakso kabuka semi masa.